This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
23rd of November would have been a regular Tuesday for the 15 million crypto users in India, but for this news flash around 8 p.m.
And now I have a very important development to share with you. We've received reports that the government of India could soon introduce a bill to ban cryptocurrencies. The bill in question will be called the Cryptocurrency Regulation of Official Digital Currency Bill. It is expected to be tabled in the upcoming winter session of the Parliament.
This news jolted crypto traders, investors, exchange platforms, analysts, because for the last few months they were hoping that a middle path will get chalked out between the crypto industry and the government. They were under the impression that cryptos will get regulated and not banned. So while the crypto bill getting tabled is a welcome news, but what is this ban on private cryptos all about? Will billions of assets of crypto investors get wiped out? I'm Devina Sengupta and you're listening to The Morning Brief. The news came in just when I was editing another crypto episode for this podcast. And piqued by the latest spanner, I dialed ET's associate editor, Sugato Ghosh, who has reported on every to and fro between the RBI, the government, the crypto industry, and the policymakers on the acceptance of the digital currency.
Sugato, since Tuesday evening, there has been a bloodbath in the crypto market in India. I mean, local exchanges have recorded a 15 to 20% drop in prices. People are selling. Exchanges hope that the actual bill could be different than the one described in the Lok Sabha bulletin. What do you think?
Well, the crypto community in India faces certain existential questions. There is no debate that the government and the RBI want the underlying technology, blockchain, to be accepted and encouraged. But then this opens up a flurry of questions. Can blockchain survive without crypto assets? We know it can, but that would be private blockchain and not a public one. This is like intranet versus internet. The essence of a public blockchain is that anyone can join, but no one can tamper. So why do we need crypto assets for public blockchain? Is it to incentivize developers? How does this incentive work? What if we don't have a public blockchain? Do we really lose out? The future of cryptos, whether they keep their heads above water, would depend on how convincingly these questions are answered. Till now, the perception on cryptos has been shaped as this new asset class with no underlying, a punting game to make or lose money overnight. In trying to drive their business, some of the exchanges who were actually the face of cryptos in India have focused on how to bet on cryptos. When we do that in a market where the rules of the games don't exist, at some point we run into trouble, as we have now. Now, the communication on cryptos by default, it has fallen on the exchanges. The developer community, the more reclusive, faceless lot, they should come forward to explain. If that explanation is not convincing enough, the government and the RBI can always ban. Now look at the interpretations. For instance, in the brief description in the Lok Sabha bulletin, it talks about banning private currencies. Now, what are private currencies? It depends on where you are. In the crypto world, private currencies are animals like Monero, which is a favorite in the dark web, as the transactions, the peer-to-peer transactions, are not recorded. But to RBI and the government, probably all cryptocurrencies, even Bitcoin, are private currencies because they're not backed by a sovereign. So we are in the midst of patchy communication and chaos.
But Sugato, what are the other concerns that dog the crypto world? I mean, we hear of allegations, even an enforcement directorate probe is underway in few cases where money laundering is suspected. What is it that is really getting everybody so antsy about this digital currency?
The concerns primarily emanate from the inability to quantify cryptos. I mean, you can't deal with something unless you can measure it, right? If you own stocks, they are reflected in your Demat accounts with the depository participant, which is a broker or a bank, and these are regulated entities. But there are no record of who owns how many cryptos. Moreover, one of the biggest question is, are you violating foreign exchange laws when you buy a crypto from an overseas exchange and sell it here, or buy a crypto here and transfer it to your friend who may be in the US? Now, due to gaps in the law and an absence of clear disclosure norms, say the way you report your overseas bank account or properties in the income tax return, there'll be three big concerns. First, are cryptos used to launder money? Second, are they escaping the tax net? And third, which is the bee in the RBI bonnet, is the challenge that a surge in crypto holdings as an asset class could pose for financial supervision, financial stability, and maybe at certain stage even monetary policy.
Right. But Shugato, these are very valid concerns, right? I mean, we know about the rising demand for cryptos, but there is absolutely no clarity on who is supplying cryptos. They don't get mined in India, right? We are just buying them. So isn't that a very important concern for the government, regulator, everybody?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For instance, we have a huge demand for gold, but there is very little mined in India. However, we know how gold is imported and how it lands with the jewelers. On cryptos, we are in the dark. Even if we know, there is very little discussion about it. And that is the problem. Today, there are primarily three sources of crypto supply. The coins that are airdropped, which is basically free money, which the developer is giving you to popularize and initiate trading in different exchanges, which is basically providing coins to developers and others who sell it down, and other stakeholders involved in the development of a new coin, who then sell it on exchanges in India. That is the first flush of supply. Second, there are those who cut arbitrage deals, that is buying cryptos from abroad where the price is lower and selling in India. Now, this is not openly discussed simply because we don't know whether these transactions are legitimate. Now, even if you are not transferring funds through the hawala route and transferring money using the banking channels, say to buy cryptos from overseas sellers, the question is, are such transactions, the use of RBI's liberalized remittance scheme, permitted for this purpose? Third, we also have the intermediary platforms who don't use the banking channels, but nonetheless supply cryptos from overseas. Now, how does this happen? Suppose 100 people give, say, 1 crore rupees to a particular intermediary. Say that, you source so many coins for us. Now, that coin may not be available in India. Even if it is available, the supply may not be adequate. So what they do, they buy USDT, which is a coin that is linked to the US dollar and is considered to be a stable coin. Now, that is bought locally from one of the Indian exchanges. And then they move this coin abroad and swap it for the coin that is in demand in India to meet this local demand. Now, here, money indirectly is changing hands and crossing the border in the garb of crypto and then again coming back. Now, is it kosher? Well, opinions differ.
Right. Thank you for explaining it in that way, you know, tracing the route of crypto across borders. But Shugata, when this news came in, were you surprised?
I was a little taken aback because a week ago we had the crypto stakeholders had a fairly elaborate meeting with the members of this Parliamentary Standing Committee on Finance. And they were given a chance to explain cryptos. And there was a widely shared perception, even media reports, that the entire exercise was meant to regulate cryptos and not enforce an outright ban. So whether it is a choice of words in description of the bill that has created the panic, if that is the case, it's irresponsible to describe the bill in the same way we did about a year ago. But we'll find out, we'll figure out very soon what the government has in mind. There is no doubt that RBI, given half a chance, it will ban cryptos right away. But it has so far survived because for multiple reasons. I think the government also wants to hear the story from the crypto side. Maybe a lot of people have already invested. But more importantly, they would like to figure out whether crypto is a fad or killing cryptos would actually be stifling innovation.
But Shugato, RBI has also been pushing for its own currency, right? The central bank digital currency, CBDC. So is that the reason why all of the forms of crypto might get banned?
Well, it's difficult to attach beyond academic significance any importance on the central bank digital currency right at this point, because it's fashionable among central bankers to talk about CBDC, but no central bank in the world has actually launched CBDC. If it is such a great thing, somebody should have launched by now. They haven't. Secondly, how is CBDC different from the digital currency, from the digital money you have now? Yes, transactions can move faster. Money can move faster with CBDC. But other than that, the very essence of crypto, which is anonymity, privacy, that those are far from there in CBDC.
A call with Shugato cleared a lot of the ambivalence around this news. Crypto industry is still nascent in India, and there are think tanks like India Tech who have held discussions with the government officials on this middle path that needs to be taken. Last week, I spoke to Ramesh Kailasam, CEO and President of IndiaTech.org, and he was sure that the government would not be short-sighted and ban cryptos.
We have a currency, we have a central bank, but at the same time, we are also digital, and therefore it is critical that we actually look at the fact that crypto may not have that kind of a resonance in terms of being a digital currency in the country. Plus, of course, the fact that the central bank would consider it as a threat to the legal tender, which is the Indian rupee. But that shouldn't stop us from allowing people to own cryptos because it's an investment class. All the developed economies and the mature economies, if you look at them today, are not the ones who have banned, but they have adopted it and are building regulatory framework as we speak.
A lot of work on this is also happening, obviously, at the Ministry of Finance. In this case, they are trying to figure out who to tax. Of course, there are the trading companies. There are, of course, the individuals who are buying into crypto. And of course, there are the exchanges platform. So every single stakeholder in this will have to go through some amount of taxation. And the rules are being formulated to figure out who and at what percent will get taxed, correct?
Well, this is where the fundamental question comes back, that unless you define and state, hey, I have decided to treat this as an asset, the form of taxation and manner of taxation cannot come in with clarity. For example, you are a company, you are holding crypto assets, for example, on the date of 31st March versus on the date of your filing of your returns or your AGM, the value may have changed. Those definitions have to fall in place, where the Ministry of Corporate Affairs has to step in. And based on that, the valuation and the type of accounting, the disclosure norms, all of that has to come in. If the government has to get a satisfactory belief that, yes, it has fairly gotten hang on how many people hold cryptos and what is the value of holding, for it to get that reassurance, disclosure is a requirement in the income tax returns.
But between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, 10 to 12 million transactions were recorded across crypto exchanges in India, which were mostly on the sell side. I called Ramesh again on Wednesday morning and asked him, was he still optimistic about this middle path?
The Cryptocurrency and Regulation of Official Digital Currency Bill 2021 has been listed for business in Parliament. The definition of private cryptocurrencies, the regulation and all of that is still in the works. What will be allowed, what will not be allowed, it could also mean that private cryptocurrencies will not be allowed as currencies, but rather assets and investment class. And then the subsequent regulation, which is still in the works, is evolving as we speak. And therefore, out of even mechanisms such as 200 of them, which trade in Indian exchanges, out of the 13,000 odd, the filtration mechanisms and so on have to be defined apart from KYC processes and so on.
And it was not just Ramesh. Even the industry heads tried to rein in the panic through messages via platforms like Twitter, which had cryptocurrency ban trending for 2 days.
I am aware of the frenzy caused by the recent news around crypto. I urge you to remain calm and, like always, do your own research before arriving at a rushed conclusion. Recent conversations with the government point towards a progressive approach, and there is no concrete statement made which claims otherwise.
Tweeted Ashish Singhal, founder and CEO of digital exchange platform CoinSwitch Kuber. When I called Nischal Shetty, co-founder and CEO of India's largest cryptocurrency exchange WazirX, he suggested a wait-and-watch approach as well.
The description of the bill hasn't changed from what it was in when it was first listed in Feb 2021 this year. But I think ever since the last 7-8 months, what we've seen is a lot of progress, starting with our finance ministers talking about bringing a calibrated approach to crypto regulation, to the recent parliamentary meetings that have been held, and even our prime minister tweeting about crypto regulations. I think there is a lot more understanding, and there's also a lot of data that has been collected on an ongoing basis, which will give them a clearer picture than, let's say, a year ago. And I believe that with those data points and the fact that there are over 15 to 20 million people in India holding crypto assets in the $4 billion to $5 billion range, a regulation where you ensure industry best practices to keep this ecosystem growing, while at the same time ensuring that the malpractices or the bad activities that everyone's concerned about can also be curbed. I think that's the middle path that everyone's looking at. And I'm confident that while the description may not have changed, at least we are in the path of regulation. And that's a welcome point for everyone in the industry.
But are the investors listening? The industry may downplay the panic, but the last couple of days have highlighted that until the bill is tabled, cabinet takes a decision, and all rules are made kosher, the crypto world will be forced to walk on a tightrope than be allowed to spin on its own axis. Thank you, Shugato, Ramesh and Nischal, for explaining the impact and making it clear that all rules are in the works. Globally, countries like US, South Korea are working on their crypto regulations. And then there is El Salvador, which has leapt miles ahead and decided to come up with its own Bitcoin city.
Angry protests, technological glitches, and a plummet in value marked the first day of El Salvador adopting Bitcoin as legal tender. The price of Bitcoin on Tuesday crashed to its lowest in nearly a month, falling from €44,000 to under €36,000 at one point.
But so far, this is not a race. You were listening to Crypto Chaos on The Morning Brief with me, your host, Devina Sengupta. The producers of the episode were Bhavya Dilip Kumar from The Economic Times and Swati Joshi from Awaaz. Sound editor is Sondarya Jayachandran from Awaaz. Executive producer for the episode is Arijit Barman. I hope you enjoyed listening to the episode. Do send in your feedback to themorningbrief@timesgroup.com and share the episode on your social media networks. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice day ahead. All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits are mentioned in the description.